How we respond matters. Response matters. Whoever hears these words of mine, says Jesus, whoever hears these words of mine and does them, whoever hears them and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. But whoever hears these words of mine, says Jesus, whoever hears these words of mine and doesn't do them, whoever hears and doesn't put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Response matters. According to Jesus in his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, the difference between wisdom and foolishness, between being wise and being a fool, is what we do or don't do with his teaching. Response matters. Wisdom is not about our education. PhDs and degrees mean nothing to a carpenter. Most of us are educated beyond our level of obedience. Wisdom is not about the gathering of more intelligence. We don't need to collect more data or have more content. He wants us to start putting into practice what he's already told us. Jesus has told us everything that we need to know. The difference between being wise or being a fool is what we do with Jesus' teaching. Response matters. And so the question for you becomes, what are you going to do with Jesus' teaching? What are you going to do about it? How does it work? How does it apply? What happens next? In the days ahead, how are you going to live differently? How are you going to behave differently? Are you going to be wise or a fool? Are you going to be doing it or not doing what he says? Over the last 7 weeks, we've been looking at Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is teaching here about discipleship, what it means to align ourselves with his kingdom. Alignment means surrender. Surrender means I don't know what I am doing. If we're going to surrender control of our lives to him, if we're going to align ourselves with his kingdom, there are several paradigm shifts that we need to make. Jesus' teaching requires a response. There needs to be movement from us. Response matters. So if you're just joining us this morning or you've missed these last couple of weeks, if you're going to do what Jesus says, if we're going to do what Jesus says, here are the paradigm shifts from the Sermon on the Mount that we need to change. From being attenders to being apprentices. From living secretly to living transparently. From half-hearted obedience to wholehearted devotion. From seeking approval from others to living for his reward. From being stingy to sharing generously, from anxious striving to seeking the kingdom, from making judgments to being discerning. Which one of these paradigms do you need to shift on? Which paradigm do you need to change? Response matters. Now, I know that some of you have really enjoyed this sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount. I know you've enjoyed it because you've told me you've enjoyed it. Mike, this is great stuff. Really helpful, challenging teaching. That talk was timely and spot on. Thank you. They've been great talk, Mike. Great talks, Mike. You knocked that one out of the park. And I like hearing this from you. I'd like to hear more of it from you. But when I ask some of you in response, so what are you going to do about it? How's this going to land for you? The answer has been nothing. You're not going to do anything with it. Not going to do anything about it. This is really good stuff, Mike, but I'm not going to do anything with what you've said. Response matters. Because, friends, the day has changed. The gig is now up. It's no longer about the numbers of people that gather in the room on Sundays. We no longer live in a time of information. We live in the time of transformation. This is what it means to live differently. Here's how we live as salt and light. A righteousness that surpasses the Pharisees is not a righteousness that understands everything. It's a righteousness that follows. A surpassing righteousness needs to be lived out. We need to encounter the truth, not simply know more of it, because discipleship isn't a book. It's in our lives. And discipleship isn't an 8-week course, and discipleship is a lifelong development. Discipleship never ends. Discipleship is marked by our response to what Jesus says. And Jesus is calling us up into discipleship. Being a disciple of Jesus means deciding. You see, in the days ahead, there's going to be choices that we need to make. Even Jesus had to make choices. He didn't choose what other people wanted him to do. He chose to live instead in alignment with the Father. He chose not to listen to the opinions of other people, but to listen to what God was saying to him. Being his disciples requires choices. All of us have a choice that we need to make. And the difference between wisdom and foolishness, between being wise or being a fool, is the response that we make to Jesus' words. Will we obey? Will we follow? Will we do it? Response matters. You see, being a disciple is not an invention process. It's not up to us to come up with something new. The pressure for us is off now. We don't have to be smart or clever or funny or intelligent or fancy. When we make the choice to do what Jesus says, discipleship becomes a discovery process for us. We discover what it is that God is doing, and we discover what it is that God wants us to do. So what's it going to be, Salt Church? What are we going to do with Jesus' teaching? Because response matters. Look there with me, won't you? Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. What gate? What road? What choice will you now make? Wide or narrow, easy or hard, life or destruction, that is the choice that Jesus sets before us. What will you do with what Jesus says? Will you put his words into practice? Enter by the narrow gate, says Jesus, but that is the harder road to choose, isn't it? If it was easy, then everybody else would be doing it. And that's what everybody else is doing, aren't they? They're all taking the easy way out. The smooth and silent four-lane motorway heading straight for eternal destruction. That's the road that everybody else is taking. That's the route that Google Maps put them on. No potholes, no roadworks, no tolls, no stop signs, no speed limits. It is the highway to hell, and they're going down all the way. But the narrow or small gate, friends, leads to life. And it's not easily found by many. Jesus says, few. It's the hard and difficult and narrow way. The word hard in Greek can also be translated as confined. In Greek, it's derived from the same word that means trouble or hardship or persecution. And if this is what you're experiencing now on your journey, if this is what you're seeing as you look out the window, Jesus says you're heading in the right path. This is the right road to take. Other people will whiz straight past you, wanting to overtake you. They'll give you the wrong directions and want you to change lanes. They are filled with road rage, the people around you. They'll cut in on you and they'll cut you off, blasting their horns, abusing you for driving to the conditions. I think I've spent too much time with a learner driver. But it's also lonely sometimes, isn't it? It can be lonely out there, all on your own. You can feel like you're on your own. Tell me, friends, how many Christ followers do you know who've taken the nearest off-ramp, who've pulled over and never got going again? Take the easy way to destruction or walk the road, the difficult road that leads to life. You choose, says Jesus. It's your choice. But Jesus' teaching requires a decision. Response matters. Now, just for a minute, I want us to slow down here. I want you to take a deep breath. Can you do that? Just take a deep breath. Have a look around. Think for a moment. I want you to work out what road you are on right now. because recognizing where we are is incredibly important. Ask yourself this question: is this really where I want to be? And if you're feeling brave, tell the person next to you what ride you're on. Off you go. What ride are you on? He doesn't leave us with a lot of wiggle room, does he, Jesus? Friends, it's important that we recognize what's going on inside us, but it's also important that we recognize what's going on inside of others too. Beware, says Jesus. Look there, verse 15. Beware of false prophets who will come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. How do you recognize a false prophet? Jesus says, look at their fruits. See what it is that their life is producing. Don't be foolish. Be aware. Don't judge, says Jesus, chapter 7, verse 1. Ask God for discernment and wisdom. See it here now, verse 15. Beware. Watch out. Be vigilant. It's a warning, friends. It's an imperative, a commandment. False prophets invite you off the narrow road and lead you down an easier path. Outwardly, you can't spot them. Inwardly, they'll lead you to destruction. So you'll recognize them by their fruits, by what their lives are producing. Hebrews says it this way, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Remember your leaders. Consider the outcome of their lives. Imitate their faith. As you consider the outcome of their lives, have you seen anyone that's worth imitating? By their fruits, you'll recognize them. You see, false teachers look like us. That is to say that they say that they're one of us, but they're not one of us at all. They are not friendly wolves. So don't pat them. Don't stroke their egos. They are ravenously hungry and harmful. They are wolves who will devour God's people. Just quickly, you ever encountered one of these before? A wolf dressed up in sheep's clothing. Seen or met one in a church that you've belonged to before? No? Okay, here's how you spot them. They're rotten to the core. Verse 17. Every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you'll recognize them by their fruits. Now, apart from mixing his metaphors and combining horticulture with agriculture, the point that Jesus is making here is so straightforward that it almost sounds a little bit complicated. So here it is again. Healthy tree, good fruit. Unhealthy tree, bad fruit. By their fruits, you'll recognize them. Integrity is when what's on the inside matches up with what's going on on the outside. Integration is when our behavior matches our belief. It's when our being meets our doing, when what happens privately is the same as what happens publicly. Watch out. Beware. Be vigilant. False teachers are also fake followers, says Jesus. They are rotten from the inside and out, and they'll lead you to destruction. No kidding, friends. Jesus' warning about false teachers in verse 15 scares the living daylights out of me. I stand up here each week at church before you. By their fruits, you will recognize them. But it's not just false teachers that you need to look out for, is it? You need to examine your own heart too, says Jesus. And so if these verses are unsettling for me, causing me to examine my heart and my behavior, then verse 21 should cause you to do the same as well. All of us here should feel a little unsettled by what Jesus says next. Look there, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Response matters. Who enters the kingdom of heaven? It's not just those who call him Lord now, is it? Is it? Who does Jesus say enters his kingdom? The one who understands theology and exegesis. The one who listens to sermons and podcasts. The one who reads books only from a certain publisher. The one who grows the biggest church. The one who drives out demons. The one who makes and does mighty works in his name. No, that's not what Jesus says, is it? What is it that Jesus says? The one who does the will of my Father enters the kingdom of heaven. Not just hearing, but doing. Not just understanding, but obeying. Not simply knowing about God, but actually knowing him in Christ. Response matters. You know, it's possible to know about God, but not be known by him. Look there at verse 23. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Those words send a shiver down my spine. Do they do it for you? They stop you dead in their tracks, don't they? Lawlessness means disobedience. But the one who does the will of the Father enters into the kingdom of heaven. If only we'd stop making it all about our understanding. If only we started obeying what it is that we already know. There is so much that happens to us in our lives, so much that we don't understand. And some of that stuff that has happened to us, we may never understand. But if you make it all about understanding, then you may never follow him. Response matters. Our calling from Jesus is not to understand everything. Our calling is to follow him. And so here's where all of this lands. Verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. The difference between wisdom and foolishness, between standing firm or falling flat, is doing what Jesus says. Not just listening to what Jesus says, not just hearing another sermon on a Sunday, not just reading the Bible, not just studying theology. Wisdom is obedience. The wise person does what Jesus says. Now, it's easy to get all allegorical here and suggest what rain and floods and wind might mean. Could falling rain and rising floods mean the troubles of our life? Could the blowing winds against the house mean the problems that life beats us up with? Or is this just part of the story, a little bit more narrative flair from the Nazarene? Well, it could be. Many people have thought so. But whether you stand or come crashing down isn't really about what's going on in your life right now, because the insurer only makes evaluations when the storm has passed. All of this teaching in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount has immediate application with eternal consequences. This is about the final judgment, because that's the context of this parable, isn't it? The wide road that leads to destruction, the narrow gate that leads to life. Not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Building on the rock is the solid foundation. Building on sand leads to a catastrophic collapse. But what is clear here is the rock. There is no mistaking who the rock is. Wise people build their lives on Jesus' teaching. They do what he says. They put his words into practice. But foolish people don't. They don't do anything with his teaching. They don't do anything with what he says. And so the consequences are an eternal disaster. Verse 26. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The Greek word translated as foolish in our English Standard Bibles is more literally transliterated as moron. Jesus is saying, don't be stupid. Enter through the narrow gate. Beware of false teachers. Build your life on the rock. Do what he says. Response matters. And so if we're going to change our paradigm, friends, if we're going to shift our lives into alignment with his work, if we're going to be doers of his word instead of simply just being hearers of it, if we're going to be wholehearted Christ followers, if we're going to apprentice ourselves to Jesus, if we're going to live as salt and light and have a righteousness that is lived out, a righteousness that exceeds that of the Pharisees because we're now living out what is inside of us, if we're going to be healthy, living lives that bear good and pleasing fruit for him, what needs to happen next for you? Take a moment and write it down. What needs to happen next for you? The one thing that I need to do now is. It's 10:30. We've still got a song to sing, but it's time for coffee. Yeah? So let's do that. Let's stand and sing in response to what we've heard. Let's go and have coffee. But can you continue that conversation? What's the one thing that you're going to do with what you've heard? I'm going to pray. Our Father, we want to thank you for this sermon series, the Sermon on the Mount. And even though we're not done yet, there's still a talk to go. We want to pray that we would be people who change the paradigm of our lives to align ourselves with your kingdom and to do what it is that you've called us to do. Lord Jesus, we want to be your disciples. We want to be your disciples. And we want to live from the inside out because you are doing a deep work within us. So help us, we pray, not just to be hearers, but to be doers. Give us the courage that we need to begin to change what it is in our life that you've revealed to us that needs some work. And would you help us now to encourage one another with what that one thing is and how we might go about doing that? For we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.